Anyway, God is good. I am so glad to be here in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Sister Crosswhite, for following the Holy Ghost, because whether she realizes it or not, she was a big part of this lesson today, because I was in the middle of seeking the Lord about what I wanted already. I already knew I wanted to talk about, and so we're going to continue what I've been talking about, and she was right on time. Ain't God, God's right on time. You know, and so so I am going to continue to move forward in this lesson of prayer. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And I want to focus on this verse and this one, laying aside every weight. And just because it's a weight doesn't also mean that it's a sin, but just as in the sentence that it's given, sin follows close behind. So a weight might not necessarily be a sin, but I promise that sin's right on its tail. And so I'll get to that as we go forward through this. So everybody ever heard of you win some, you lose some? Let me see everybody's hand that's heard that phrase. You win some, you lose some. Have y'all ever heard it from the winning team? No, I've never heard it from the winning team, right? So it's not possible to win all the time, but usually the coaches of the losing team generally are expressing those words. Yeah, you win some, you lose some, right? I used to express those words when I would lose a criminal as I was chasing him through the woods. You win some, you lose some. So sometimes they were track stars, and I was not a track star, so... You know, but this expression generally utters about loss and is really never mentioned about win or gain. And it originated, y'all know where it originated from? Nobody? 1900s amongst gamblers who were betting on sporting events. That is a sporting event. So... in prayer, it's always a win. Look at your neighbor and say, prayer is always a win. You may not feel like it when you do. Now, I want you to know that this is not from a piece of paper. The Lord has given me this. And I spent the last 2 days writing this down as it was given to me. Again, some of it was contributed from Nana C. But... in prayer, it's always a win. Somebody once said, when I wake up, I want God to get in my head before I do. Think about that. When I wake up in the morning, I want God to be in my head before I get in my head. Right? So, today, I want to talk about Brother Josh. Not Brother Josh, but none. I want to talk about the gain and the loss of prayer. The gain and the loss of prayer. So in prayer, I can talk about the loss. I lose anger. When I go to God in prayer, I lose anger. Anger in itself is not a sin. Ephesians 4:26, Brother Josh. Be angry. God's given us natural emotions, but he says, sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry, But there's a reminder that sin's right there at the door. Let's go to Genesis 4. What does he say about sin being at the door? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And so, the anger in and of itself is not sin, but there is sin behind anger. I will tell you. And so he says, he reminds us to be angry, but sin not. I brought this weight today. I throw this thing around, especially the last 6 months. It's only 30 pounds. Anybody think they can hold on to this for a minute? Who said, uh-uh? I need somebody strong. Come on, somebody strong. Brother Brent. Everybody say Brother Brent. I need you to hold on to that. Just hold on to it. Just pick it up. Act natural with it, though. Yeah, just hold on to it. Look at everybody. You can walk around with it if you want. Okay? Just hold on to it, though. So if thou doest well, wilt thou not be accepted? Or if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee will be his desire. So when I'm angry, Brother Brent, that anger becomes a weight. And at first, I can be angry, and that weight feels pretty good. I can walk around with that weight. I can be frustrated about everything. It's only 30 pounds. It's only a little bit of anger. I'm going to hold on to it. Swing it around a little bit. Throw it at a few people because I'm angry. Right? It's not sin, but it is a weight. Right? Has anybody ever gained weight besides me? In the last 6 months, I've lost almost 60 pounds. And I will tell you, my knees are grateful because of it. Right? My knees are grateful because of the weight that I've lost. I didn't realize that I had put it on. I do realize how hard it is to get it off. Right? I'm going somewhere. I'm building a foundation. So just stay with me. We're teaching today. So when I follow after the flesh, I gain some weight. I pick up some things that are unhealthy, maybe spiritually, generally. And so holding on to that weight is fine for a little while. But if I find myself in prayer, guess what? When I take anger to God and I lay it at his feet, I can walk around a little easier because I've let it go. You can't let it go. You keep holding on to it, Mr. Strongman. Just tell me when it starts to get heavy. Whether it gets heavy or not, it's heavy. And you don't realize it's heavy until you lose it. You don't realize the weight until you've lost it and how much better you feel. And so whenever I pick up anger, well, it's not a sin. But if I find myself in prayer about whatever it is that has made me angry, and I lose that weight, there's a feeling of strength that comes over me. And so when I pray and I've lost the weight of sin and anger, I gain something. I gain a freedom and a more earnest desire to pray. When I feel the release of the weight, how many has been in prayer and have felt a release of a weight? When I feel the release of that weight, it gives me a strength. That's the gain and the loss of prayer. I had picked up some things, didn't realize it along the way. But when I bring it to God and I find that place of prayer and I lay it down, if I don't pick it back up when I walk away, I have a strength in my muscles. I have a strength in my bones. I have a strength in my spirit that helps me walk better, spiritually and physically. So I've gained something in prayer. I've gained a strength. I've gained a freedom. But I had to lay that weight down. While I'm walking around in my flesh, there's times that I can pick up ego. Anybody know what ego is? Can anybody tell me what is the one-word definition of ego? Thank you. I. We live in the world of I, Sister Kristen. iPads, iTunes. iPhones. The definition in itself is the inflated feeling of pride I completely misspelled that word. Yeah, I have no idea. Superiority, there it is. To others. Yeah. While I'm walking around in my flesh, I pick up a few things. It's not heavy, but it is a weight, right? Is it getting heavy? It does. Not at first. Not at first, I feel good. I got a little bit of pride. I'm proud of myself. Right? James 4:10, Brother Josh. But when I go to prayer, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord that He, and He shall lift you up. I have to lose some things to gain some things. I'm talking about prayer. 1 Peter 5:5-6, Brother Josh. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elder. Ooh, there goes my pride issue, because submission is not in the definition of pride at all. Right? Yea, all of you be subject. If it gets too heavy, just set it down. But if you think you can hold on to it, keep holding on to it. Oh, how is it? How easy is it? Oh, it's getting a little heavy on this side, so I'm going to switch it over to this side. But I'm still carrying it. Submit yourselves to the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another. That's not even talking about elders. That's talking about brothers and sisters. And be clothed with what? Humility. Right? Pride's not in that definition. For God resisteth the who? And giveth grace to the humble. And so in prayer, when I've humbled myself, I lose the ego. And I'm lifted up. It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Brother Crosswell, I was just talking about it. The mighty arms of God. Right? Under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Might not be right now. I'm reminded of He's still working on me. make me what I ought to be. Took him just to, come on, Chrissy, sing it out loud. To make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. At some point, 30 pounds gets heavy. Thank you, Brother Brent. Anybody else want to try? No, we don't. Not, we don't like knowing the weight, but we pick it up anyway. We don't like knowing it's there. We'll think about it not being there. Nobody else wants to try to lug this thing around? It's okay, I don't want to either. When I go to prayer, I've lost the desire to be superior. When I'm in the presence of the all-superior one. Again, it's a weight. And when I lose the weight in prayer, I gain a strength in prayer. Proverbs 21:4, Brother Josh. A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Spiritually. Puts a new definition of the word fat and happy. Right? So when I've prayed, I've lost the big and the big I and little you mindset. And I've gained an understanding of freedom in humility. I gain a freedom in prayer. It's a chain. It's a bondage to pick up these things. Because I don't know any other way to put these things down other than finding a place to pray. It's important. Prayer is an important thing. If I carry, Brother Brent could only carry this thing for around about 10 minutes. Could you imagine carrying this thing around Tennessee Monday morning? Because Sunday night I got a good blessing. But Monday morning I went to work and I picked up a few things. Family's in on Tuesday, so I'm not really going to go to church Tuesday. Thursday, it's just the kid thing on Thursday, so I'm probably not going to go there either. I'm telling you, God's been working on me too. I'll just wait till next. Can you imagine carrying this thing from Sunday to Sunday or Monday to Sunday? It's only little things. But man, do they get heavy. That's why it's important to have a prayer life at home and not just in the house of God. The importance of gaining some things in prayer and losing some things in prayer. Greed. Definition of greed is to covet. When I've prayed, I lose the greed within. You know, from the time we're born, the flesh is greedy. You don't even have to be trained. I'm having a brain burp. Sister Weaver, what is baby Pirtle's name? Carrie, try taking something away from Carrie that she's playing with. She's gonna let you know about it, right? That's from a baby. She doesn't know right from wrong. But naturally, we want the things that we want. And we are greedy about it. Right? Let's grow up a little bit. Tithes and offering. Boy, I've got some stuff to take care of. Oh, that I would have Sister Kristen's mindset. Something that's stuck with me ever since she said it the very first time. It's God's anyway. Right? But I can't have that mindset if I've not been in prayer and I'm allowing the weight of greed to weigh me down. Right? I've got bills to pay. That in and of itself is a weight. Right? But God's just going to have to wait till the next time. And how long do we carry that weight? When God's like, just lay it down right here. I've got it. It's mine anyway. But I want to hold on to it. I don't realize the weight of it till 10 minutes into it. 10 Pentecostal minutes, Brother Jerry. It's God anyway. So when I bring it, Exodus 20:17, Brother Josh, when I bring it to God, right? Talking about greed. There's some things that I need to get rid of. What does the commandment say? Thou shalt not covet. There's a lot of things. Thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt never covet not thy neighbor's wife. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Anything. It's a broad definition. Right? How about Psalms 119, 35? I'm going to go all the way through 39. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I'm bringing some things to God. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Proverbs 1:10 through 19. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. Here's greed. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the waves of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. I pick up that weight. And guess what? Greed can pick up other weights. I get angry. And my anger has a ripple effect to those around me. I'm all of a sudden angry at my wife. I'm angry at my children. I'm angry at friends. Why? Because of one weight that I decided to pick up. And I haven't lost it in prayer. Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for the hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spare not. Think about that. The righteous giveth and spareth not. Next. Oh, no, that's it. 26. Ephesians 4:19. Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perisheth in the gainsaying. It's a weight, and it's a ripple effect that affects you, that affects your friends, your spouse, your neighbor. I'm supposed to help my brother, but how can I help him if I haven't laid some things down, lost some things in prayer, to be able to gain some things in prayer? How about insecurity? That's a good one. Anybody can define in your own words what insecurity is? Huh? Come on, say it out loud. I can hear it. I'm deaf in one ear and can't hear out the other one. Inadequate. Definition of Webster's definition, uncertainty or anxiety about oneself. Lack of confidence. Psalms 118:8-9, Brother Josh. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Who am I? I'm a man. So it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in me. Right? It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I trust in God more than I trust our president. I trust in God more than I trust our sheriff or our judges or anybody else that's ruling this land. Right? I trust in God more than the ruler of my house, because I don't put my trust in me. I have to put my trust in him. Right? Proverbs 3:26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. How can he be my confidence if I'm walking around with the weight of insecurity? I just can't. It's the weight of I can't. I can't pick up that weight. We're all guilty. I can't show up to outreach. I can tell you right now, I had the thought, if I can't talk to these people in an Ohio hospital while visiting my dad after a motorcycle wreck, and I got this far past them, the Lord quickened me, you can. And I need you to. And so I turned around and I was like, look, you don't know me from Adam, but this is what I felt in the Holy Ghost. And both of those women started crying. I don't know what kind of effect happened afterwards, but I know that they knew that they had a God that was watching over them. Right? But how could I do that if I had the insecurity of the weight of insecurity and I didn't lay it down and I just kept going? Right? So in prayer, I lose the insecurity and I gain a confidence that it's not my work that's doing it, it's God's work. Right? How about Proverbs 14:26? The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. But the fear of the Lord, I have to find myself in an humbled position, Brother Weaver, and fear God to give me confidence that no matter what happens, God's in control. In prayer, I lose the lack of self-worth. And I gain an understanding that I serve a God that loves and cherishes me. I gain the confidence that I might not understand, and I'm reminded that I don't lean on my own understanding. But in all of my ways, I trust in him, and he shall direct my path. Another one is fear. Tell me who wrote this. I don't think it'll take long. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. A lot of people stop there, but this goes on. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert, retreat, and to advance. In every dark hour of our national life, a leadership of frankness and vigor has met with that understanding and support of the people themselves, which is essential to victory. I am convinced that you will again give the support to leadership in these critical days. Anybody? Franklin D. Roosevelt. Everybody stops at the whole, we don't have anything to fear but fear itself, right? But I was intrigued to read a little more of his speech. Fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger or evil or pain, whether the threat is real or imagined. The feeling or condition of being afraid. When I pick up fear, Brother Neil, I begin to limit myself. And fear turns into anxiety. Fear turns into insecurity. Right? Well, guess what? This 30-pound weight has just become 90 pounds because fear leads to other things that I pick up. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is different. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there's a difference of being afraid and being fearful and having a being fear of God. Fear of God is a respect or a reverence of God. But when I pick up the fears of this life, they've become a weight. And ultimately, I have to find a place of prayer to where I can release the fear of this life and I can gain some fear of God. The devil likes to use our past against us. I saw a meme, that's how you say it, this week. I kind of laughed, I chuckled a little bit. It said, the devil always reminds us of our past, but let's remind him of his past. Like, you're the only one in heaven that got kicked out of heaven, G. Like, you're the only one. It went on to say, the Lord came down and gave his life for people to get in for free. And you got kicked out of the only place that you can get in for free. We're letting a little guy, the Revelations Revelations describes him of how small he's really going to look when that day comes. And we're going to be like, this guy? This is who made everybody so fearful? This is the guy who caused all the problems that he caused? This guy? When I come to a place of prayer, I begin to understand just how little that devil is. And just how small fear is. But it's really big when it's standing in front of me. But I have to go to a place of prayer to gain some things as I lose some things. When I lost the feeling of danger, I gain a fear of God. It's not an impending danger, Psalms 2:11, Brother Josh, but it's an impending respect of the peace of God. The Bible says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And I'm closing. So there's a gain. There's a gain of peace. There's a gain of strength. There's a gain of self-confidence. There's a gain of knowing that God's got this. It's God's anyway. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I know God. I don't know when it's going to come, but I know God. I don't know how it's going to come, but I know God. I even want to have the mindset of the three Hebrew children. I know God can save me. But if not, he's still God. And I can only have that mindset when I've come to a place of prayer and I've lost some things to be able to gain that mindset. Otherwise, everything is going to be right here. Everything's going to be a challenge. Everything's going to be a fear. Everything's going to be anxiety. Everything's going to be insecurities. Everything's going to be I don't knows. But I do know. God's got it. Bible says he will supply all of your need. N-E-E-D. There's no S. Everybody, I've done it, misquotes it. He'll provide all your needs. No need. There's only one thing I need, and it's Jesus. Everything else is going to be okay. But I don't have that mindset if I haven't prayed. I don't have that mindset if I haven't come to God and go, okay, here it is. God, search me and know me. Know my down-sitting and my uprising. Know what I do. I don't want there to be a place in my heart where there's a secret chamber that I try to hide from a God who already knows. I remember the night. Man, it was, if you ever have a feeling that you need to stop and pray, stop and pray. Don't try to brush it off. I don't care if you're in the middle of a family meeting. I don't care if you're in the, there's something going on. So I was in the middle of a wrecker call, and I got through. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. I dropped the stuff off at the yard, and I mean, we're right here, right? So I come to the stop sign. And I go to take a right to go home, and I have this all just this urge to go pray. And I'm like, ugh. 4 o'clock in the morning. I really want to go to bed. But Sister Crosswhite, I didn't. I turned left and turned into the parking lot. And I pulled up here and I came here. The church is dark. You can hear all kinds of noises. And I walk in, and whenever I cross the threshold of that double wooden door, the Lord was already waiting on me. And I laid myself on this altar, and I found a vein of the Holy Ghost that I hadn't found in a long time. And what felt like 5 minutes, I woke up and it was 7 o'clock. And I wasn't asleep. I had been crying and weeping in the Holy Ghost for 3 hours. And when I walked out of here, it was like I had been to sleep. It was like I had rested. I felt good. I didn't need my 6 shots of coffee from Dutch Brothers. I'm telling you. But there was a sacrifice. I had to lose some things in my mind. I had to lose sleep. But I gained a time with God that I would have lost had I not. How easy it is for us to do these, to get involved in life and get busy. And we gain life, but we lose prayer. What benefited us is it for us to gain the whole world and lose our soul. Right? So the gain, when I pray, the gain is what is lost. Think about that. A stranger once asked, thank you, Sister Crosswhite. A stranger once asked, what did you gain by regularly praying? The man replied, nothing. But let me tell you what I lost. I lost anger. I lost ego. I lost greed. I lost depression. I lost insecurities. I lost fear. I lost the fear of death. The answer to our prayers is not in gaining, but in losing, which actually is the ultimate gain. So I encourage you today, pray. Don't lose that time. When it's prayer time, it's prayer time. Don't lose it. When it's prayer time at home, it's prayer time at home. Do you know people who don't even know truth pray faithfully 3 times a day or more? They'll stop. There's a video on the Book of Faces where a guy was delivering Amazon packages in the middle of a culvert. Turnaround. What do you call those? Cul-de-sac. Thank you. I don't even have a response to that. In the middle of a cul-de-sac, in the middle of delivering packages, throws his packages down, throws a mat out, and begins to pray. And my mind and my heart smote me. It was like, if that guy can pray and I know truth, what hinders me? I mean, it's hard. It's hard to get in the middle of a water. I mean, Brother Brent, if water's blowing, I'm not stopping to pray unless we all in danger. And that 20 is shooting 40 foot in the air. Y'all see me stop and pray at a water leak. Y'all better pray we get something shut off. Everybody better be praying. But it's the mindset. I'll go further deeper than that. It's the heart set. Where's my heart? Because what do I want to gain and what do I want to lose? Amen. Let's take a moment and pray right now. Lord, I love you. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for all the strength that you have given us, the direction, the light. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the peace of mind. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you. I ask you to search me and know my heart. God, teach me to pray. Teach me to love prayer, to fall in love with prayer. Teach me, Lord, that when it's your time, and I want to devote my time to you. I thank you, Lord, for knowledge. I thank you for wisdom, and I thank you for understanding. I give you praise, and I glorify you, and I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. It is 10:46. We have about 15 minutes of prayer. If we can take the next 10 minutes, shake somebody's hand, encourage your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and let's meet back here in 10 minutes.